the time of Elisha. It has always been so that those who are on God's side, those who set out to commit their lives to God, were always in the majority. However it may appear to you or to me. But today's lesson focus on the famine, the besieged city of Samaria, and God's unlikely agent or instrument. The time that we are dealing with now, probably about 900, 800 BC, it was a desperate and almost hopeless time for God's people, the Israelites. They were prisoners in their own city because the city of Samaria was besieged. Surrounded by the Syrian army. Wait. Nothing could go in. Nothing could come out of the city of Samaria. They were prisoners. When I said nothing could go in, no food. When I said nothing could come out, nobody could escape. In fact, let us hear a little of that 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25, and then verse 28 and 29.
And there was a great famine.
And there was not just a famine, a great famine.
In Samaria. And behold, They besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. And the fourth...
Wait, you notice what their delicacy was? A ass head. That's right. That's a donkey head. I was at a restaurant a few weeks ago, while the Sinbad restaurant, nice restaurant. If you ever go in the Detroit area, get somebody to take you there. You sit right on the waterfront, and the appetizer, they brought many appetizers, and the person who was treating us, you know, pass thing around and say, "Brother Mitchell, you want to taste this? This is frog leg." I shook my head and said, "No. I don't know if I'll ever get around to eating frog legs." But neither, I hope that I don't have to eat donkey head. Read on, brother.
And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Verse 29.
Read, brother.
So we boiled my son and did eat him.
So we
boiled my son.
Boiled my son.
And did eat him.
Remember, this is one of the mothers relating the agreement that she and another mother had. Things got so desperate. We boiled my son and we ate him.
And I said unto her, on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him.
You know, it's really comical. having eaten her friend's son, when the time came for her son to be slaughtered, she decided she not go kill her son. You see, in the first place, that agreement was a foolish agreement. It was a barbaric agreement. But among the lesson is the desperate situation to which we can be brought. And God had brought the Israelite to this desperate situation. That something to sustain life, everything was depleted. The famine and the besieged city was of God. It was the Almighty God who had brought this. Listen to chapter 6, verse 33.
And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord.
This evil that we are experiencing is from God. He was right. And that was because of their sin and disobedience. Read on.
What should I wait for the Lord any longer?
In other words, the messenger was telling what and what God will do. God is about to bring some relief. And the king said, why? God was the one who brought this on us. Why should I wait on him? That was another terrible mistake he made. A lot of times our impatience become our tragedy. But in all of this, we have the lepers. Get this. That was one of the terrible diseases that affected the Israelite. Not just one time, two times, even in the time of Jesus Christ. Lepers, leprosy. Your limbs and finger, whatever, rot off little by little. Well, in this situation, there were four lepers. But the lepers were not inside the city. Why? Because the law given to the Israelite by God through Moses had stipulated that any man or woman was affected by leprosy, that person should not abide in the city. Here you have a killing disease, and then on top of that, you are isolated. You are ostracized. Listen it in Leviticus 13, 46 and Numbers 5, 3 and 4. Quick. We are dealing with the fact that the lepers were outside of the gate of the city. They were forbidden by the law of God to enter the city. Did I say Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46?
All the days wherein the plague shall be in him.
All the days that the plague, that is the plague of leprosy, shall be with this person, man or woman, boy or girl.
He shall be defiled.
He shall be defiled.
He is unclean.
He is unclean.
He shall dwell alone.
He shall dwell alone, my God. Huh? Yes. Read it now in the book of Numbers 5, 3 and 4.
Both male and female shall ye put out without the camp.
Both male and female shall be put out without. That means outside of the camp. The lepers should not dwell among the rest of the Israelites. Read.
That they defile not their camps.
That they defile not their camp.
In the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so.
Did as they were commanded. Watch here, look here, look here. How did they get something to eat? Passers-by would throw something, like you're feeding an animal, throw something and give them, and their relative would ever so often visit them, and if the relative know that they dwell at this point outside the wall, they would throw it over the wall. But no contact was made with the lepers. Let us hear 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 4.
If we say we will enter.
In fact, let us hear from verse 1.
Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel.
Wait. What Elisha is announcing here, which is very good news, that with all the perilous situation we are facing because of the famine, by tomorrow this time, God going to bring about a change, a positive change. Wait, let me just throw this in some passing this area. The advisor to the king leaned on his shoulder, listen the words of the man of God and throw scorn on it. Read, brother, read.
And 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned.
That is a lord, one of the king advisors. The king usually lean on his shoulder. Read.
Answered the man of God.
He answered the man of God, that is the prophet.
And said,
Behold,
if the Lord would make windows in heaven.
Wait. This is making mockery of what God's prophet has just announced. He's showing that what the prophet announced is impossible. And in a sense, with the severity of what was going on, of the famine, no food, no rain, nothing. You can see, but when the messages from God, don't ever doubt it or fight against it. Watch here, read.
Might this thing be?
He said, if God opened heaven, can this be? And what he's doing is throwing doubt on it. In effect, stating that it is impossible. Read on.
And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes.
That is the he said and the he said. This he is the prophet Elisha. He's telling him, you shall see what I have just announced, but you will not benefit from it. Read, brother.
And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die?
Wait. The four men who were lepers, suffering from leprosy, their dilemma was perilous. In effect, they are stating here their hopelessness. In effect, what the brothers just read in 8 or 9 is that whatever we do, we are going to die. Because the perilous situation was not only in the city, they dwell outside of the wall, but they also suffered from the consequences. Read on, brother.
If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city.
The famine is in the city.
And we shall die there.
We shall die there, reader.
And if we sit still here,
if we stay here where we are,
we die also.
We shall die. Whatever we do, we are going to dead. That's terrible. Hopelessness, despair. That's their situation. But it was not only their situation. It was the situation of those who were inside of the city. In fact, it was worse for them. Whatever we do, we shall die.
Now therefore come.
That is chapter 6. Let me just share. Chapter 6, I think, verse 6 and 7.
And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed them the place. And he cut down a stick.
Chapter 7, brother. Chapter 7. 6 and 7, I think I need.
For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians.
Wait. Yes, that's, you have the right passage there. You're reading verse 6? Read it again.
For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host.
The Lord made the Syrians. The Syrians were the one who surrounded Samaria. Israelites were dying off within the city of starvation and disease and whatever. The Almighty God going to bring a miraculous relief for them. But how God did it? By miracle. The Almighty God made the Syrian to hear noise, as if it is the noise of thousands of troops or soldiers. Read, brother.
And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites.
The Hittites.
And the kings of the Egyptians.
And the kings of the Egyptians. The noise we hear is that Israel got into an agreement with the Hittites and the whoever. They are the one who is coming to fight us instead of the Israelites. You know, the Bible states, and this is a fact, that the wicked flee when no one pursueth. And this is the situation here. This is the way that God bring relief to his people, the Israelites. Even though they suffered because of their sin, the Almighty God saw that it was time that he bring some relief, some emancipation. Verse 7.
Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses.
That is, the Syrian ran away from their camp. They had pitched camp. They had set up houses that they would not remove from outside of the wall of Samaria until every Israelite either starve to death or submit to them. But country people always say, when man are right, God a wipe out. Amen. Amen. The unseen power and agency of God is always at work. Truly. You and I may not see, but it is at work at all times. God is never asleep. And God is always aware of everything. From 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. Read, brother.
And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent.
They went into one of the vacated tents.
And did eat and drink.
They ate and drank. They have never seen so much food. Where did they get it? The Syrian had run. They ran away and left all the things that they had there. Read.
And carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also.
You notice what's going on? From satisfying their hunger and their starvation, they moved on the spoil to satisfy their covetousness or greed. That's what we have here. They ate to their full. They went from tent to tent, and each tent they went in, there was so much food and so much wealth, gold and silver. But at this, at that very instant, their stomach was not full. They have accumulated gold and silver found in the various tents. Their sense of moral responsibility, their sense of wise reflection, step in. Read verse 9.
Then they said to one another.
They said to one another.
We do not well.
We do not well.
This day.
This day.
Is a day of good tidings.
It's a day of good tidings.
And we hold our peace.
Did you hear what they said? These are lepers. These are four men without hope. These are four men who they are just waiting on death. Death had served them notice that he is very close by. And when they found food and wealth and ate to their full, something dawned on them that accumulating and keeping it to themselves, what is the statement, brother? We do not well. Everybody get that? This is, at that instant, their sense of moral responsibility or wise reflection telling them of the sin and the consequences of selfishness. That's what is under consideration here, you know. We cannot be selfish with this which we have, and so many need it. Are we all there? Are we all there? What's wrong with us? Those of us who benefit from the gospel of Jesus Christ, we feel contented. We feel satisfied that all week, all month, our minds will go through, and it never dawned on us that we must seek ways to give somebody a track, to invite them to church. For what reason? To expose them to hear the word of God. Wait. To hear the word of God. What about that, Brother Mitchell? Run to the book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians. Quick.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness.
For God, who commanded the light to shine
out of darkness.
Out of darkness.
Hath shined in our hearts.
Hath shined it in the hour, dear brother, is referring to the Christian. That's how comes we become Christian. You see, that light of the gospel of Jesus Christ helped you and me to understand that we are only pilgrim here. Are we all there? That light from the gospel let us understand that we are only traveling. We are heading towards the grave, every one of us. Huh? We live to see those of us who are fortunate of 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 years. Few of us reach 85 or 90 or 100. But then we move on. Remember, death is not finality. Death is only a transition from one form of existence to another. The light of the gospel tells us that this life was given to us as a probational period. When a man or a woman is put on probation by the authority, it means you are given a time to prove yourself. We are on probation. The gospel helps us to realize that. Because one day you and I, every man that has ever born in this earth and reached adulthood, we are going to stand before the Almighty God to be judged. You better believe that. And somebody said, but Mr. Mitchell, I don't believe that. That doesn't change it. It will happen nonetheless. The light of the gospel does this for the Christian. The Almighty God now expects I don't forget what I'm about to say. It's just I want it to soak in. The Almighty God expect that natural things about good news. What is natural about good news? You always want to share it with somebody. That's the way good news is. You hear some good news and you decide you're not going to tell anybody. You heard that your grandfather left you $500,000 and you're afraid to tell anybody because your friend and relative going to want to come for a loan. So you decide you're not going to tell anybody. But sooner or later, there's a good friend that you have to share it with. That's the nature of good news. Sooner or later, you have to share it with a relative. And before long, you tell more people than you realize, because that's the nature of good news. You want to share it with somebody. There is no gooder news that has reached this side of heaven than the gospel of Christ. None. Because it is all about our eternal peace. Wait. Peace with God as we go through this life. And peace with God in the hereafter. You are still, at 2 Corinthians. You should not move. You had read verse 6. What verse you read?
So in verse 6.
Okay, let us hear verse 6 and verse 7.
For God.
For God,
who commanded the light to shine
who
out of darkness.
Who commanded the light to shine?
Out of darkness.
Out of darkness, because we were, when a man or woman doesn't know Jesus Christ, that man or woman is in darkness. But the gospel enlightens us in respect to our need for Christ and Christianity. The light, which is the gospel.
Hath shined in our hearts.
That's right. The Bible's heart is not that which pumps blood. It is the mind. Read on.
To give the light of the knowledge.
To give the light of the knowledge.
Of the glory of God.
Of the glory of God.
In the face of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Read on.
But we have this treasure.
Wait. We who? The Christian, the church. Have this treasure. But Brother Mitchell, it was talk about light. Now it's talk about treasure. What is that? The same thing. The gospel of Christ. That's the treasure. And we dare not keep it to ourselves without consequences. To have this treasure where?
In earthen vessels.
Meaning it is vested in human being. That's what that means. Earthen vessel. Which means don't wait for an angel to come and share the gospel with you. It will not happen. Angel has never converted any man or woman in the New Testament. If you hear the gospel, it's going to be through a fellow human being. So back to the point with the lepers. Back, dear brother, verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 7.
Then they said to one another.
Then they said to one another.
We do not well.
We do not well, neither do we. When we keep the gospel of Jesus Christ to ourselves. We do not do well. There are consequences. Wait. These hopeless, sick lepers could have come to this knowledge. We do not well. Read.
This day is a day of good tidings.
You see, you do not keep good tidings to yourself. It must be shared. We have to find ways of sharing it. Wait. And the people that the Almighty God put in my world is not the same people he puts in your world. I am responsible for the men and women God sent my way to give them a track, to invite them to church, and to always be alert for any opportunity that avail itself for me to introduce Jesus Christ to them. We do not well.
This is a day of good tidings.
This is a day of good tidings.
And we hold our peace.
You cannot. You're not supposed to hold your peace when you have God's good news. It was never meant for you alone. And that God has opened your eyes to see and benefit from the good news. God expects you to let others hear of the good news through you. That's true. Oh, Lord. Awaken. In these four lepers was the natural inclination to not keep good news selfishly, awakening them, but to share the good news. Let me just run down here. Verse Okay, let me just look at a few. Run to the book of Matthew. Just the fact that good news was meant to share. And there is no better news than the one that Jesus Christ died for man's sin. And Jesus Christ is offering forgiveness and fellowship and hope. Every man needs that, whether the person knows it or not. You and I who benefit from the gospel of Christ, God meant for us to take that information to everyone. Matthew chapter 8, 31 through 34. Read.
So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them,
mm-hmm.
Go. And when they were come out.
Wait. Don't be puzzled over this. Some of these devil agent, demonic spirit who possess this person. Jesus Christ came on the scene, and these devilish spirit recognized Jesus Christ. And they appeal to Christ for mercy. You know, when we ended the series of lessons, we ended that Satan is under Jesus Christ's control. Now, not something that's going to happen. Now, here you have satanic spirit. Beg Jesus Christ for mercy. Read that again quick, brother.
So the devils besought him,
uh-huh.
saying,
uh-huh.
If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine.
If you're going to cast us out, permit us to go into the herd of swine. Uh-huh.
And he said unto them,
and Christ said unto them,
go.
Go.
And when they were come out,
uh-huh.
they went into the herd of swine.
Uh-huh. Christ grant their wishes. Read.
And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place
uh-huh.
into the sea.
That's right.
And perished in the waters.
They perished because the demonic spirit possessed them. Read.
And they that kept them fled.
The men and our women who kept the swine ran.
And went their ways into the city.
Wait, I want you to get this. I want to close because while I was striving not to come back to this lesson, there are so much good things left in the lesson. So let me not rush through it, but just this one or two more passage. The people who were tending the swine ran into the city. Wait, they were not running away from what they saw. They had good news to share. Read, brother.
And told everything.
Told everything.
And what was befallen to the possessed of the devils.
And what happened to those who are possessed by devil. They ran to share the good news. We're keeping it to ourselves. Remember the four lepers in the book of 2 Kings chapter 7 says, we do not well what we do, heaping up gold and silver after we have eaten our belly full and so many people are starving. This is not right. Needs Christ, brothers and sisters, we do not well with the emphasis that good news on the fact that we are going to be the things that came out of these four lepers and the lessons for us to help us understand that God has expectation of us. We cannot afford to fail the Almighty God. Not when it comes to the good news of Jesus Christ, who gave his life to bring hope, to bring redemption, salvation, forgiveness to men and women. God has no mouth here but yours and mine. Let us use ourselves and the knowledge he has blessed us with to help others recognize their need for Christ. All of us here today and all the men and women in the world, we are all heading for eternity. Every one of us. And all those who have lived to see adulthood and be responsible for our sin, God will judge us. Let us make sure that we are on the right side of Jesus Christ. Are you in the audience today and you have never become a Christian the Bible's way? You can become a Christian right now. It's that easy. How easy? We have a man coming from worship. He picked up a preacher. The preacher taught him. When the man saw the water, he remembered that the preacher had told him about baptism. He said to the preacher, "Here is water." He was baptized. That's how easy it is. You need to accept that you are a sinner, meaning you have not conducted your life the way God created you to conduct it. You have missed the mark. You have missed the purpose for which God placed you here. You see, you don't have to be committing murder and all of that to be a sinner. One of the illustrations that will be used next week is the one talent man who went and hid what was given to him to add more to it. But next week, you are expected by God that having recognized that you're a sinner, you have not lived the way that he meant for you to live, for you to come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. That is, you believe that Christ is your Lord, your Savior. Then after belief, you decide to repent of your sin. All the wrong, ungodly, sinful things you recognize in your life, you will make a resolve in your mind to turn from them. Your conduct will reflect that. The Bible called that repentance. The Bible also referred to that as dead to sin. Repentance means you will not let sin reign in your life. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, you must confess my sin. Brother Mitchell, no, not your sin. God knows your sin more than you know them. You must confess Christ's name. That is, you must show that you are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And after you confess Christ's name, you must be baptized. It is in baptism that the Almighty God removes all your past sins. All the sins held against you now that you have been committing for the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years, all of them will be forgiven, removed, cleansed in and at baptism. That's why Jesus Christ, preacher, asks the man, "Why wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin." Acts of the Apostle 22, verse 16. We're going to sing a song now. If you're here today wanting to become a child of God, you can step forward